So we're in the middle of Eis Hay in the Maimer. In Eis Hay, the Maimer is explaining the Maila of Eidos over Chukim and Mishpatim. Seemingly, the Maila of Eidos, as we've identified it yesterday, is that Eidos are an expression of the Ratzin Hashem. But Chukim are also an exclusive expression of the Ratzin Hashem. Gam bechukim nirgash begili shayim ritzayni yisparach. So in order to explain this, we began by specifying two relationships between the concept of a chayk, a decree which is suprarational, and chakika, engraving. And we identified two specific ideas in engraving, one which is lemaila, one which is lemata. Lemaila, the idea of engraving, is that engraving is not a davar noisef ala etzem. When you engrave something into something else, it's part of it. When you write something on something else, it's added to it. And being part of something is obviously greater than being added to something. The mitzvahs, which are chukim, are part of Eibishter. They're part of Ein Sof, which is why they're not understood. Why you can't understand them. Because being that they're part of Ein Sof, and Ein Sof is something which is illogical, so too, the mitzvahs which are chukim are illogical. Parents. Then there's the concept of chakika, engraving below, that the engraving is that the chayk enters into the fiber of this world. That the very DNA of this world is filled with godliness. It's engraved into the world. And the reason why it's engraved with godliness is because the Ur HaMemale comes from the Ur HaSeviv. And the Ur HaSeviv is one with Eibishter. It's not separate from the Eibishter. It's engraved letters as opposed to written letters. So therefore it becomes the foundation, the life, the energy of this world, that even when you're looking at the world, the physical world, here, there's godliness which is built into it. It's not a godliness which is immediately apparent. When you look at the tree, you see a tree. When you look at the rock, you see a rock. But it's a godliness which is innate to it. A bittul to Elikus, that's innate to the entire world. Like we say in the Hallelujahs throughout Psukei Dezimra, how the earth and the heavens are constantly singing the praise of Hashem. Good? Clear? Now we're going to continue. The bottom of page Kuf Mem Beis, the second paragraph in Isaiah. Vihine gam bechakika, also in the engraving, al yidei chakika, Nasa shinoi ba'hadavar shachaykikin boi. So now the Maimer is going to say, not so quick. Even though the concept of chakika is engraving, and engraving is part of the parchment, part of the stone, part of the thing that you are engraving in. But al yidei chakika nasa shinoi b'hadaver shechikikin bay. Also through engraving, you cause a change in the thing that you are engraving in it. She'enei kemoi shahaya b'tchila. It's not the same as it was in the beginning. when you give a ring under the chuppah, one of the minhagim that we have with regard to the ring, first of all, it has to be perfectly round. The roundness is an implication of our Ein Sof, the Ur HaSeiviv. And second of all, it cannot have any engravings. You can't write a pasuk into it, a name into it, nothing. It has to be completely smooth, the ring that you give under the chuppah. This is our minig. Chakika, engraving, even though engraving becomes part of the thing, but engraving nevertheless creates a change. It causes a change in it. It's not the same as it was before. Before you had a stone, now you have a stone with letters on it. Like if you engrave letters onto a stone, shebetchila haya ha'evan pashut. In the beginning, the stone was pashut, it was smooth. Va'achshav hu metzuyer ba'isyes. Now it's engraved with letters. Ubifrat, and especially, kishahachakika hu be'evan habahir umavik. If you're engraving on a precious stone. I don't know if any of you are jewelers, but what happens when you engrave onto a diamond?
Nothing.
When you scratch onto a diamond,
chipping.
So you could engrave a diamond, right? You could shape it, whatever it is. But where you smooth it out, you're causing less of a shine. Where you're engraving, you're causing. Ubifrat kishachakika hu be'evan habarir umavik, especially when the engraving is in a stone which is shining, a precious stone. Sha'al yidei hachakika, through engraving, nasa shinoi behabihirus v'avaka shel evan, the clearness, the clarity, the havaka, the shine of this stone is changed as a result of the engraving. Shabimakim hachakika einay mavik kolkach, in the place where you engrave, it doesn't shine so much. So the change, actually, even though oisies hachakika, page kuf mem gimel, oisies hachakika are oisies which become one with the stone, they nevertheless transform the stone. The stone is not the same as they were earlier. Not only do they transform the stone, they temper it somewhat.
What does that mean?
They hold back its shine. The oisies hachakika hold back its shine.
The seviv even holds back the shine.
The seviv also holds back the shine. Va'oidin in bazeh, an additional idea of this. Noisif la'ashinui, in addition to the change. And in parentheses it says, Yerida. The change is immediately a descent. When you have a change in Pshitos, it's a descent. Pshitos is beautiful. Pshitos is beautiful. Any change that you make to Pshitos, even if it's a nice change, a beautiful change, but if you're making a change to Pshitos, that's automatically a Yerida. It's automatically a descent. The purity of a child. So sometimes a child needs to be educated. That's Chakika. Chinuch is an Indian of Chakika. You're engraving in the child certain ideas, hopefully positive ideas, holy ideas, good things. But when you're taking away from his innocence, you're tempering him. It's a yirida, it's a descent. The way that the neshama shines in the purity and the simplicity of a child is subdued when he matures. It should be subdued, that's part of maturity. But that also takes away from the purity, from the innocence. It's a yirida, it's a descent. shenase beha even that happens in the stone al yedei hachakika through the engraving. So besides for this change, which is a descent, shachakika hikshura bachalol. There's an additional idea, and that is the chakika, the engraving, is kshura, is connected to the chalal, to the empty space. That's a pashuta idea if you think about it. Engraving is dependent upon lack, upon emptiness. Emptiness is opposite. In other words, why do the letters of the stone of Chakika stand out? Because there is opposite of stone that you're creating. You're creating an empty space. An empty space is opposite of stone. If there would be just stone there, then you have pshitos. If you have pshitos, then you don't have the oisies. In order to create the oisies, you need a chalal. Shenechsar b'ha'evin. That there is a taking away, there is a lack in the stone. Hainu, shehachakika atzma, hikamay hepech ha'evin. The engraving itself is like the opposite of the stone. The engraving causes the opposite. So we just specified two details. Two, I don't want to use the word negative, but certainly not positive, ideas that are connected to engraving. The first is that the engraving causes a change. It's taking away from the beauty of the pshitas. And that change is automatically a yevida, it's a dullness, it's a withholding of the pure shine. The second thing is that for chakika, to be a chakika, you need a chalal, you need an empty space. That empty space is, by definition, the opposite of the stone. So you're creating something which is the opposite of the stone in order for the chakika to shine. In other words, for our Ein Seif to be a uniqueness of our Ein Seif, there has to be something which is the opposite of our Ein Seif. Now,
in other words, in order for there to be good, there needs to be bad.
In a certain sense, yeah. Now, but only good in the discernible good. That means in order for Yaakov to be more special than Esav, for Mordechai to be more special than Haman, there has to be a Haman. Haman tried to reach in his Geirul, that's the Maimer Al-Kain, from Tavshin Yud Gimel, he tried to reach a level which is higher than that. But okay, that's not for now. V'yesh leimar, d'shnei inyanim eila, these two ideas, hem gam bahanim shel de'or ha-sevev. They're also in the analogy, the analog rather, the nimshal, the analog of or ha-sevev, of this infinite light. In the earlier paragraph, we identified two ideas of chakika. There's chakika, the way it is above, that it's one with the stone, and there's chakika, the way it becomes part of the fiber of the world below, that it instills a natural bittul in the world below. The two not positive derivatives of side effects, so to speak, of chakika that we just identified are related to those two concepts of engraving. Shahayirida ba'ar liyais ar seviv la'almin. The yirida of the ar. There's the ar ha'etzem. The ar ha'etzem is the way that it is in essence. In essence, nothing exists. Nothing exists. There's just pure simplicity, pshitos, unending pshitos. That's the ar ha'etzem. And then it becomes Ar Haseviv kol almin, which again, hasayviv kol almin is, by definition, it's sayviv the almin. It's higher than the almin. That means it has a relationship to the world in the same way that the ceiling has a relationship to you. It's higher than you. Sheha yivida ba'ar, the descent of the ar, liyis seiviv la'almin, that it should be seiviv to the worlds, hu dugmas hashinoi vahirida shanase ba'evan. That's similar to the change and the descent that happens in the stone. That the stone is now changed. It's not pashut betachlus apshitos anymore. It has engraved letters on it. She'enei pashut, it's not so simple, and as a result of that, enei meir umavik kolkach, it's no longer so brilliant, so shining, because in those spots where you engraved, the shine of the stone is dulled. K'mei she'haya t'chila, the way that it was earlier. Val yedei zeh, and through this, nases nisinas makim la'ilam, there becomes a possibility for the world. That's the chakika, the way that it is below, in the world below. That there is the existence of the world, the integration, the internalization of the Ur HaSeviv, as the Ur HaSeviv becomes the Mekar for the Ur HaMimali, and the Ur HaMimali begins to exist inside of the world. Shemishave me Ur HaSeviv. It's because of the Ur HaSeviv that the Ur HaMimali is able to exist. Shemitziyo Sa'ilam, the existence of the world, that the world is Miloshin Helam, a complete concealment of godliness. Because look around you, do you see godliness? I hope not. Because if you do, then we have to lock you up. We have special rooms on the first floor, padded rooms. Who hepich gilui ha'ar? You didn't know what the first floor is for, right? Now you know. Who hepich gilui ha'ar? It's the opposite of the revelation of light. Bedugmas hachakika shenech sarmei ha'evan. You ever notice that these bachim that just disappear for a few months? That's right. You have to do things sometimes. It's similar to the engraving that there is now something missing from the stone. Missing from the stone means the opposite of the stone. The opposite of the stone is Eilam. So we've related three separate ideas over here. The middle idea is really something which the Maimer didn't yet connect the dots, but that's directly what the Maimer is doing. I'll give me a second.
I'm gonna write it on the board, okay? Idea number one is the you're going down from Etzem. Etzem is just Etzem. There's no description of Etzem. There's no way of categorizing Etzem. There's no way of appreciating Etzem. There's just pure Etzem. So you're going down from Etzem, you're going down to HaSeviv, surrounding light. This is a descent. You're going down to surrounding light. This is similar to the idea that you are engraving letters which are now you have engraved letters. The letters are now
the opposite of the stone.
Before we get to the opposite of the stone, they're defined. You have a clear description. You have Keser. Keser is a name. Inside of Keser you have spheres. Now, they're not the limited spheres, so to speak, that you have further on in Atzilus, Chachma, Bina, Das, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, etc. They're not the limited spheres, but nevertheless, they are now engraved letters. They're something, they're a thing. They're not anymore pshitos. They're no longer simplicity. You are lacking pshitos, you're taking away from pshitos,
And as a result of that, you're lacking shine. Because you're lacking pshitus, you're also lacking shine. Right? Because as soon as you no longer have pshitus, you no longer have shine. That's one idea that we said. Then there's the second idea, and that is that the Ur HaSeviv becomes mikar, a source for memale. The Ur HaSeviv allows memale to exist, and in allowing memale to exist, it allows that there should be. It allows that there should be oilemos. Oilemos is concealment, complete concealment of godliness. That's first of all. Second of all, you have the chalol. I'm sorry. Second of all, you have the integration of godliness in the world, which means the bittul, the complete sense of negation that the world has to godliness, which comes as a result of the fact that Ur HaSeviv becomes the source of Ur HaMemale, but this is the chalal that is created in the engraving, which is opposite. It's the opposite of the stone. And that's in the fact that in the world you have an opposite of godliness. You have something which is extreme opposite of godliness. Now these three ideas in each of the two stages line up to each other. They match up to each other, right?
How does the in the second, what's this integration of godliness in the world?
That's the bittul that we spoke about at the end of the last paragraph. That the entire world is constantly singing the praises of Hashem. The entire world is constantly battled to the Eibishter. Why is the world battled to the Eibishter? Because Ur HaMemale comes from Ur HaSeviv. But by the same token, when Ur HaMemale comes from Ur HaSeviv, it ends up losing the revelation of Eibishter. So the pizza that you're going to eat is without question a godly slice of pizza. But it itself is first of all on level two. It's eilemos, it's worlds, it's concealment. And even though there's a integrated bittul in it, but it's an integrated bittul which you cannot see at all because it's connected to the chalal, it's connected to the opposite of godliness, which exists in the Ur HaSeviv.
If it's integrated in this world, are there still levels of concealment which it can have? So like, can some
absolutely
things be less concealed than others?
Absolutely.
Even though it's integrated?
Open up the Aron Kodesh, look at the Sefer Torah, and you feel an instant sense of awe and holiness. Right? That means godliness is not so concealed there. Come into a Yiddish home on Friday night, into a shul on Shabbos, and you feel the people standing over there with their talisim and davening and singing the praises of Hashem. There's not such a strong concealment over there. And there's other places where that level of concealment is greater. In other words, there's levels which are emphasizing the inherent godliness, and there's levels which are emphasizing the inherent concealment, the chalal, the empty space, the opposite.
So also on another level, it seems like the Ur HaSeviv itself
is taking away the pshitus of the etzem.
The Ur HaSeviv is taking away the pshitus of the etzem. That's one C.
I thought 1C that pshitus was when you create the memale, the letters in the stone.
No.
So there's two levels of taking away the shine.
This is chakika lemaila. Chakika the way that it is above. And this is chakika lemata.
So there's two levels of taking away the shine.
There's two levels. There's the way that it is above. And the way that it is above, it's already starting to diminish. And there's the way that it is below. That's where it's connected to the chalal, to the opposite. And yes, the tree, the stone, the sun, the moon, the stars, they all are constantly connected to the Eibishter. This Perek Shira, which describes how the whole entire world is constantly singing the praises of Hashem. You ever saw Perek Shira?
Yeah.
We used to have, I don't know if it's been lost, art scroll book that has pictures of every part of Perek Shira. The whole world is constantly singing the praise of Hashem. What does that mean, that the whole world is constantly singing the praise of Hashem? That's the godliness which is built into the world. Why is there godliness built into the world? Because the world, meaning the Ur HaMemale that gives the world its existence, its source is from Ur HaSeviv. But its ability to sing the praises of the world, but yet completely of the Eibishter, but completely conceal the Eibishter, that comes from the Chalal. That's the chakika lamata. That's the way the chakika is below. You understand?
In a way, the chakika lamaila is also, there's a chalal from the etzem to something other than the etzem. There's a chalal.
You can't have an etzem from something other than the etzem. There's no.
There's you have a chalal from something other than the etzem.
You have a, yes, that's true. Chalal is emptiness. It's nothingness. But the concept of nothingness existing doesn't exist by etzem. It only exists by Ar Ein Seif, Ar HaSeviv Kol Almin.
And chalal is the letters.
What?
The chalal is the letters. The space in the letters.
The chalal is the space in the letters. But the space in the letters, we connected more to the way that it becomes part of the world below, the way that it becomes part of Ur HaMemale, because that empty space, that's what allows the world to completely conceal the godliness that its source comes from. When you look at a tree, you see a tree, a yesh. When you look at a stone, when you look at a person, you see a yesh. The fact that that yeshus exists, where does yeshus come from? Yeshus comes from the chalal, from the empty space, from the nothingness, from the opposite of godliness. So that's what then becomes the source for the Ur HaMemale. But since it's coming from the chalal of Ur HaSeviv Kol Almin, that's why it has this powerful integration of godliness that allows the entire world to be constantly battled to Hashem. It's stuff that you need to think about. It's not enough for me to just tell it to you. You have to chart it out by yourself and think about it and then work on it again. But let's finish at least the ice, okay? V'yesh leimar, shal derech zehu gam b'chukim. The same is true also b'chukim. With regard to chukim, the zesh and the kram b'shem chukim, milashen chakika, hu mitzad shnei inyanim hanal. This, that they are called chukim, from the language of chakika, engraving, humitzad shnei inyanim hanal, is a result of the shnei inyanim hanal, the two above ideas. Chukim, why are they called chukim? Is for the same reason. Va'inyinu, the perish chuka, the explanation of chuka, bepashtos, what's the explanation of chayik? Hu kemay merazal chuka chakakti gzer gazarti ve'ein lecharishus laharachreha, is that there is a decree chuka chakakti gzer gazarti, and you're not allowed to think about it. The shnei nyanim baza. There's two ideas of this. Sharatzin the chukim, the ratzin of chukim hu loy kemeisha hu batzmusay, is not the way that it exists in the etzem, ella bivchinas yirida kaviyachol, lishlol es haseichol, it's in a level of descent, to contradict seichol, lishlol es haseichol, ein l'charishus lahar, which is the idea of a chayk, that you have no permission to start asking questions about it. If you start asking questions about it, then you're going to get screamed at. B'dugmas hashinui v'ayirvida shenasaba evan al yidei hachakika, like the change and the descent that happens in the stone through the chakika. V'shehaseichel sheharatzen sheilaloisai, and there's also the idea that the seichel, which is being negated by the ratzen, hu ba'ifan shehavana v'asaga sheloi, he hepech haratzin, is in such a way that understanding it is the opposite of ratzin. Shelachein sarich lishlal v'leimar ein l'charishus lahara. That's why it's necessary to negate it and to say about it that you have no permission to start thinking about it.
It's in relation to the seichel.
So, what we're saying is that these two levels are related to two ideas of chayk. Chakika lemaila is that chayk is not etzem. In other words, there's a change. There is an engraving. It's not etzem. And because it's not etzem, therefore, it's something which is seivev kol almin. It surrounds the worlds. That means it's a chayk that you're not allowed to think about. That means that it's already relating to the world. There's a world that exists and we're not the world. And there's also the idea that chayk is opposite of seichel. Chayk is not seichel. That chayk is the opposite of seichel. That chayk is the opposite of seichel is this second idea of chakika, that in chayk you have the chalal, in chakika, excuse me, you have the chalal, the empty space, which is the opposite. So in chayk, in a mitzvah that you're not able to understand, you have also these two levels. The level, first of all, that it's already changed, it's different, it's engraved, it's transformative. You're changing it. It's not the pshitos, the perfect beauty, the perfect etzem, which is unaltered whatsoever. And that change is that it's allowing seichel. It's saying the chayk is not seichel. It's seiviv seichel. It's higher than seichel. That's the change. And then there's the idea that it's the opposite of seichel. The opposite of seichel is where you have the empty space that the engraving is not, but that empty space is what allows the engraving to be able to be seen. And that empty space is the seichel, which the chayk is the opposite of.
Which comes first? Because if there's a surrounding light, there has to be
the higher.
It surrounds first, doesn't it?
Good question. I'm trying to think of the right words.
It's the goal.
I'll answer you briefly for now, and hopefully we'll think of a better way to express it. I'm going to come from a whole different angle. A person has an etzem, yeah? The etzem of the person is just pashut betachlis apshitas. On his etzem level, it's just pure. It's just the person. The etzem of a person is not antisocial. There's no social to be anti. Right? If a person is antisocial, that means that there's something that exists outside of me, not me. And I'm higher than that. The etzem of the person is not antisocial. The etzem of the person is just pure. Pashut b'tachlis apshitus. When a person reaches a level that I'm sticking to myself, I'm not able in my current status, in my current emotional state, in my current thought state, I'm not able to interact with other people. On that level of a person, the person is immediately giving room for other people to exist. And it's from there that the person is going to reach, now let's talk to other people. In other words, you can't just stay inside of your own head and your own emotions forever. You have to, at some point, start talking to other people. Now, with regard to your question, the second state is when you're looking at it from the person, from inside of the person. The second state, other people still don't exist yet in the second state. But nevertheless, there is a shlila of other people, a opposite, a negation of other people in that state in order to reach a level where he's able to interact with other people.
But there's still people to interact that he is.
So you're looking at it from the bottom up. I'm looking at it from the inside out. You're looking at it from the outside in. When you're looking at it from the outside in, yeah, the people start and the people are there already. And therefore, I'm looking at it from the inside out. When you're starting from the inside out, the other people don't really exist at the second stage yet. Where I'm still too absorbed in myself. In the etzem, there's not even other people. There's not even a shlila of other people. There's nothing else. There's just etzem, 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 etzem. That's it. There's nothing else to talk about. It's on the second stage where other people begin to be a metzius that I don't have yet inside of my world, that I can't focus on, that I can't interact with, and so on. Then on the third stage, you're already interacting with other people. You're already speaking to them. You're having to do with them. You're mitigating yourself for them. You're clothing yourself. You're not saying everything. You're not expressing everything. You're guarding yourself. You're completely concealing yourself. The Olam Milashon Helem. That's the lowest level where you're not even you anymore. But there's that middle level where you're you and you're so intensely you that you can't have to do with anyone else. But coming from the inside out, nobody else really exists yet, even though you're negating the existence of other people.
So is it at Soiviv where is it like...
So in the first level,
yeah,
over here on the board, number one, is the second level that I'm talking about. The second level, yeah, is the third level that I'm talking about, where you're already getting involved with other people, but it's where you're getting involved with other people as you're still looking at it from the perspective of the chayk, from the perspective of the etz, of the ar in seif, of myself, as myself is being concealed, but then the source for my ability to be able to be involved with other people. Let me just see if I could relate this also to the stone. So you're starting off with a stone which is etzem. It's pashut b'tachlis apshitus. This stone is infinite. It could say anything. It could do anything. Don't put any letters on it. On the ring under the chuppah, like we described. Don't mitigate it. Don't take away from it at all. But if you don't take away from it at all, you're not going to have the aseres hadibros. Right? You're not going to have the Torah, you're not going to have communication, you're not going to have... So the etzem level, as powerful and beautiful as it is, it doesn't allow for the ability to be able to speak. So then you have the engraving on the level where the engraving is just the stone. In other words, don't look yet at the chalal, the empty space inside of the stone. It's just the stone. It's as the first level of engraving, that the engraving is integrated. It's part of the thing. It's not separated from the thing. It's in the stone. Now, there's a certain darkness, a certain change, a certain transformation, but it's still as it's part of the stone. Now, of course, engraving where it's strictly part of the stone is an engraving which is indecipherable. You're not able to realize it yet. But nevertheless, it's negating everything else. It's negating the possibility of not being in the stone, not being part of the stone. Then you have the introduction, so to speak, even though it happens simultaneously, of the chalal, of the empty space, which allows you to read that engraving on the stone, but the chalal is that which is not the stone. In other words, by engraving in the stone, which the whole point of engraving vis-a-vis writing, in opposition to writing, the whole point of engraving is that it's part and parcel of the stone and it's not separated from the stone. It's not something which is being added to the stone. That's the whole idea of engraving. The first level of engraving, but a change. And that change is what allows eventually, in other words, the negation of anything else is what allows for the opposite of the stone, the chalal, the empty space within the stone, which is what allows the engraving to be read and to be now a metzias, which is being projected from the stone. That chalal is then the source of mimale, of the person who's standing outside of the stone and reading the stone, something added to the stone, something which is not the stone.
So then, there can't be change to the essence, right? Or can there be change to the essence?
You can never change the essence.
Never change.
The essence can't change.
But with the...
What you're changing is the level in which that which is coming from the essence is now including, so to speak, something outside of the essence. But you're changing it in stages. And those stages are essence... Essence, but with a little bit of dullness, a little bit of tempering, a little bit of holding back, and then essence with holding back, with the ability for something else to exist, something the opposite of essence.
So there's
exist.
Essence in all of it.
What?
The only way.
The essence exists everywhere. The essence exists in the Eibishter, the essence exists in the Ar Ein Sof, and the essence exists in the Olam, Ilashon Halem Ve'Aster, in the Yashus of the world, in the limitedness of the world. The essence exists everywhere, because essence built the Mishtana, the essence is not changed. It's us who's changing, which is, in essence, the answer to your question, even though it's not such an easy answer. The question is a good question, but it's that's in essence the answer to your question, that the development of us is really what's taking place. So we don't exist on Atzilus or on Keser of Atzilus. We're completely negated. We're completely batel b'tachlis abitel. We don't exist over there, even though the fact that Keser of Atzilus exists is what then allows for us to exist, because Keser of Atzilus is negating our existence.
Our physical existence.
Our practical existence.
What about our Chalak
al-Kamimah? That's the essence. That's the essence which is everywhere.
So then we do exist even before.
That's our essence. That's our essence. Our essence and the essence of the Eibishter. Okay, let's just read the last three lines over here of the paragraph. According to this, we're able to understand more the advantage of Eidus over Chukim, the Inyan HaChukim, who haratzen the mitzvahs, k'meishu bebechinas yirida lishlal hanyanim, shehem hepcham. The whole idea of Chukim is that stage of development where you're saying nothing else exists, nothing else exists. But as much as you're saying nothing else exists, you're saying nothing else, nothing else, nothing else, which was Jeff's question. What do you mean nothing else? What else is there to exist? On etzem level, nothing else exists because nothing else exists. You don't have to say nothing else exists because there isn't anything else. On the chayk level, you have to constantly shout that nothing else exists because there is that something else, or at least that possibility for something else. And therefore, you have to shout that it doesn't exist. On the Eidus level, you don't have to shout nothing else exists, because on the Eidus level, there's just Eibishter. There's just Etzem. Inyan ha-Eidus ha-Ratzon ha-Mitzvos k'meishu batzmusay. That's the depth over here. That's the beauty over here. There's one level where you're shouting and shouting and shouting, but why do you have to shout so loud? You have to shout so loud because you're trying to drown out something else. And then there's the level where it's just pashut betachlas apshitas. That's the level of Eidus. I'll answer more questions soon. Okay, we'll stop over here.
Is it tomorrow or something?